Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. This will be a first in a series of podcasts on the attributes of God, both his communicable and his incommunicable attributes. This will not be a deep theological treatment of those attributes, just a survey. The whole goal is to present a balanced view of God. I believe that understanding God in a balanced way, or presenting him in a balanced way, will equate to a balanced Christian life and service to God. For example, there's a lot said about the love of God, and certainly nobody would disagree with that. But what about the love of God contrasted with the wrath of God? What about the grace of God contrasted with the righteous judgment of God? We're charged in the scriptures to be holy as he is holy. What would we know of holiness apart from our understanding of God's holiness? And so the goal is just to present God in all his facets, his character, what those various attributes mean to us, and how those attributes will build us up and strengthen us and increase our confidence and service to him. Now, Jonathan Edwards said this. He said, "Men will trust in God no further than they know him, and they cannot be any exercise of faith in him one ace further than they have a sight of his fullness and faithfulness in exercise." It's an excellent quote to start this series. He starts off by saying, men will trust in God no further than they know him. And here is the core problem in a lot of circles today. God is not preached in his fullness. God is not preached in his entirety. You see, some people think that theology should be left to the seminaries and Bible schools. I believe theology ought to be preached from the pulpit. I believe theology ought to be taught in Sunday school. I think our young people ought to be taught theology. I think as much as possible, I think that we need to communicate as much as we know about God to our people. Just preaching about God as love all the time is not presenting a balanced view of who God is. Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He preached that in 1741 in Enfield, Connecticut. It was the spark that ignited what became known as the First Great Awakening. The basis for this message was the spiritual darkness that was prevailing over the land at the time. People, because they were mandated to go to church, weren't saved. Preachers weren't saved. There was a spiritual darkness. And when Jonathan Edwards preached that message, he preached on the wrath of God. He preached on the depravity of man. He preached on hellfire. And the results of that message and the moving of the Holy Spirit were profound. I believe there's something to be said about preaching God in his fullness and what that will translate to in the hearts and minds of God's people. I remember back in the day, 1994 is when I got saved, the summer of 94. And I started going to church and listening to my mentor, and he was, you know, putting it out there from the pulpit day in and day out, talking about God, talking about his characteristics, talking about his attributes. And during that period of time, you know, a lot of the name it and claim it crowd, you know, God is a 7-Eleven. You just call on him when you need something. And although that is still going on today, there's also other things that are going on today. There is an increase in godlessness that is running rampant, not only in the streets, but in churches as well. There is a grossly perverted view of God in these latter days. In many encounters, whether it's door-to-door, whether it's the street ministry, whether it's at work or at home, there is a perverted view of God. Let me issue this challenge to you. Get a small notebook. Go to the dollar store, buy a small notebook. Put it in your pocket. And for one whole week, ask people what their perception of God is. Ask them to give you three or four examples of what their perception of God is. Do it for a whole week. Don't argue with them. Don't debate about the existence of God or any of that. Just say, what is your perception of God? Write it down. And then at the end of the week, look at your results. And that is what people believe concerning God. Ask people who call themselves Christians what they believe. I think you might be surprised at some of the responses. We live in an age that says tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Well, now they're trying to create a God of tolerance. And because they're trying to create a God of tolerance, that's going to open the way for other sin and wickedness to creep in. It's going to make it harder for the people of God, the people who believe the Bible and preach the Bible, to stand their ground. You're going to have to fight an uphill battle. Just talking about the holiness and righteousness of God. There's a God of indifference. He doesn't care either way about sin or wickedness or righteousness or anything else. The other problem is the Bible is no longer held to its preeminent place in the teaching and preaching ministry of the church. Time and time again, I have met up with people who've gone to services where there was no Bible open, a little devotional book or a piece of paper or something like that opened up. No message, no scripture, no admonition, no exhortation, nothing, no doctrinal teaching, nothing on theology other than some ambiguous, gray, non-offensive statement made about God. The Bible needs to be in a preeminent place in the local church and in the hearts and lives of God's people. We can't look at the Bible and say, well, some of it's true and some of it's wrong. We can't pick and choose what we want to believe about God, about his character, about his judgment. We can't do that. We either accept it in its entirety or we don't. Now the world's coming along and they're changing things up a little bit and redefining. Look, the Bible's very clear in Romans chapter 1, verse 23, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They're changing the glory of the uncorruptible God. Man is corruptible. He'll never produce something greater than himself. He can't. He's already flawed. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Our society is becoming baser and baser by the day. The further people get away from God, the worse things are going to get. A.W. Tozer said this in his work, The Knowledge of the Holy. He said this, man's spiritual history will positively demonstrate that no religion has ever been greater than its idea of God. Worship is pure or base as the worshiper entertains high or low thoughts of God. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. That's important. Let's elevate Christ. Christ should be preeminent in all things. Let's elevate God. Let's not try to bring God down to our level. What if you worshiped a God that was just like you? Think about that for a minute. What if you worshiped a God just like you? And it is with this that we're going to begin our series on the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Those are the two. Both of these will be covered, again, not in great detail, not a deep theological treatment, but a survey of these attributes. The incommunicable attributes are those attributes which he alone possesses and cannot be shared with his creation. The communicable attributes are those attributes of God which he shares with us. And the next podcast will begin with his incommunicable attributes, and we'll talk about a number of those, and then we'll move on to the communicable attributes. What I will try to do is talk about them from a scriptural perspective and also make the application. What do those attributes mean to us? How will they help us develop as Christians and as servants of the Most High God? Take care, and may the Lord bless you.